broken together in marriage, in the church, in life. How then do you overcome brokenness? We're going to look at a much more narrow issue than marriage. Adam, I'm hot, real hot here. We're going to look at this issue that is commonly cited as one of the leading causes of arguments in marriages. It touches all lives, the issue that we're going to deal with this morning, whether you're married or not. And the issue is stewardship of money, of resources, of time, everything. We're going to look at the biblical principles to overcome the brokenness in handling money. Overcoming brokenness. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 1. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. So we urge Titus that as he had previously made a beginning, so he would also complete in you this gracious work as well. But just as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, and in all earnestness and in the love we inspired in you, see that you abound in this gracious work also. I'm not speaking this as a command, but as proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love also. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. I give my opinion in this matter, for this is to your advantage, who were the first to begin a year ago, not only to do this, but also to desire to do it. But now finish doing it also, so that just as there was the readiness to desire it, so there may be also the completion of it by your ability. For if the readiness is present, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For this is not for the ease of others and for your affliction, but by way of equality. At this present time, your abundance being a supply for their need, so that their abundance also may become a supply for your need, that there may be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little had no lack. Overcoming brokenness. Overcome brokenness by opening your heart to others. Paul says, extend grace. Did you catch how many times the word grace was repeated in this passage? Extend grace. Paul tells the Corinthians of what the churches of Macedonia had done. Macedonia was a Roman province in northern Greece. It was extending from Apollonia in the west to Philippi in the east. We know them as the churches of Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. They were giving to the saints, to those in and around Jerusalem who were under the heavy boot still of the Romans, and things were tough. And so they were giving to the saints, to the Jerusalem church. And it was a matter that Paul had suggested to them to help them, to help. And the Macedonians responded, but the Corinthians said, oh yes, but never came through. And he's encouraging them to do so. Well, the Macedonians were not a wealthy people themselves, Paul said, and they had given a great deal in their affliction. Their hearts were quite different than the Corinthians' hearts. And as they opened their hearts and they gave out of an abundance of joy, they gave out of joy. They had opened their heart to other people. They had opened their heart to the saints, and they were giving out of joy. They were letting their deep poverty flow in the wealth of their liberality, he says. Now catch this as an equation. For the Macedonians, it was joy plus severe affliction plus poverty equaled wealth. Severe affliction, poverty, all that equaled wealth. But the Corinthians were about themselves. If you go back and read 1 Corinthians, you get a better idea of that. The Macedonians were about other people. The Macedonians did not give based on what they could afford. They gave beyond their ability and out of their own accord. Paul didn't say, now we need a little bit more money. Now we're going to pass these plates. I wonder if we got enough. Do you think we ought to pass the plates again? They did. They gave it. They gave. And that's how you and I need to be, that we need to open our hearts to other people. The Macedonians had begged Paul for this opportunity in this participation in giving. And did you catch what Paul said happened? The grace of God had been given to them. As they first gave themselves to the Lord and to Paul and Titus, and then as God led them, the grace of God was given them. Stewardship, giving, is first a heart issue. So open your hearts, your heart to others. I have a book on my shelf about Charles Spurgeon, George Mueller, and Hudson Taylor. It's called A Camaraderie of Confidence. And if you know anything of those three men that were born and raised in England, two of which then stayed in England, they were more or less contemporaries, even though they weren't really together, and their lives did overlap. But they ministered in the 1800s. And this is what was said about them and their work. Ministers across Great Britain founded institutions to relieve the plight of the orphan. And that social work carried over into pressure for reform of working conditions and public treatment of the poor. Mueller was the most famous of the founders of orphanages, not because he was the only one doing it, but because of how he did it, namely without asking for money or going into debt. Spurgeon, 70 miles away, founded orphanages as well. Taylor did not found a ministry directly for orphans, but the link with Mueller's ministry is significant. Taylor's commitment to go to China as a missionary included his eagerness to be a blessing to the whole person, physical and spiritual. These men opened their hearts to others. As you think of stewarding your money, as you think about how you decide what you're going to spend and how you're going to spend it, you can look inward or you can look outward. You can look inward. This is what I want. This is what I want to do this weekend. This is what I think I need. You know, we have so completely obliterated the difference between needs and wants. But you can look inward or you can look outward. If you look inward, it's all about you. If you look outward, it's about other people. Or you can look both ways. Do you know that? You can look both ways. Years ago, I listened to Larry Burkett, the first Christian financial advisor on the radio, that at least that I knew of. And when people would call in and ask for advice about getting out of debt, one of the first questions he would ask them is, have you changed the behavior that got you into this mess? Have you changed yourself? Have you changed the behavior that got you into this? What he was really asking was, have you opened your hearts to others? Financial problems for people begin when they only look inward. You say, well, but you're buying to keep up with the Joneses, whoever those folks are. But the problem is when you think you've got to have. Think back over your life. If you've got any age on you at all, Is there a day that if you could just, if time travel was just possible? Is there a day in your life when you basically changed the outcome of your life, at least financially? It's about this time of year. It's 1982. Is actually probably in April, maybe May. We were about to graduate from Oklahoma Baptist University. Oh, man. I had the world by the tail. I knew what I was going to do, and I knew how I was going to skin it. Everything about it was going to fall into place. What I didn't know was is that we had brought home a souvenir from Germany, and he's now 6'4" and weighs about 220. But I was sitting in the back of that realtor's car thinking, yeah, we can afford this. I'll make this much. Kim will make this much. If I could just go back and change that one day. But the problem was I was looking inward. I was not looking outward. Open your hearts to others. Overcome brokenness. Overcome brokenness by completing the act of generosity. Extend grace. Again, Paul says, extend grace. Paul had sent Titus to Corinth and had directed him to encourage them to complete this gracious work of giving. Paul knew them well enough to know that they abounded in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, in earnestness, and in love. Paul knew their problem was that they looked inward too much. I don't know if you've ever noticed that when we do the Lord's Supper communion, call it what you will, that I always read from 1 Corinthians because I can remember that passage. But Paul is saying what he was saying to them when he writes that passage is, you got a problem in the church because everybody's looking inward. And what you need to do is look outward. And that was the problem that they were having then. They weren't able to give because they couldn't look outward. And so Paul encourages them to complete this gracious work of giving. Good intentions don't do much. He wanted them to see that sincere love for Christ, for Paul, for others was what they lacked. Sincere love. You know, it's one thing to say, oh, and not really care. They had a stewardship problem because they looked inward. And at one point, they seemed eager to join in supporting the saints there in Jerusalem. But they never completed it. They never completed it. And so as an example of one who acted generously, Paul mentions the grace of Jesus. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And that is generosity. So complete the act of generosity. Do you remember the four frogs sitting on the log? Three of them decided to jump in the water. How many of them were left? All four, because there's a difference between deciding and doing. So be generous. Do it. Remember the Pharisee from 2 or 3 weeks ago out of Luke 18? He tithed. He tithed everything. It was like he tithed the oxygen that he breathed. Oh, I took 100 breaths. I better give 10 of them away. I mean, he tithed everything. But he did not have a generous heart. Do you have a budget? A personal home budget? Do you live by it? You know, it's one thing to put it down on paper. It's quite another to live by it. Do you tithe? Do you give 10%? Which I think ought to come first to the church, and then you ought to give more than that to other places. I'll never forget Bill Hopkins. One of the men who was a deacon and an usher here when I came, many of you know exactly who I'm talking about. He was so theologically accurate when he would pray over the offering. Lord, we bring your tithe and our offering. But do you look inward or do you look outward? Do you have an emotional distance between you and your money? I think it was Corrie Ten Boom. I may be wrong, but I think it was Corrie Ten Boom that talked about all the possessions she owned, she carried in an open palm. Now, not literally, but figuratively. The truth of it is some of us clench what we have, we think, in our fist, and we don't let go. So do you look inward at what you want, what you think you need, more than you look outward at what others need? And if married, do both of you look outward about the same? Or is there a conflict there? Looking inward is a symptom of brokenness. Generosity is the antidote for selfishness. Overcome brokenness. Overcome the brokenness by continuing to give. Extend the grace. That's what he starts talking about in verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. I give my opinion in this matter, for this is to your advantage, who were the first to begin a year ago, not only to do this, but to desire to do it, but now finish doing it also. Continue to give. He suggests two principles for giving in this section. He says, first, give in proportion to what you have. The readiness Paul speaks of in verse 12 is one's attitude to give. So give according to what you have. Did you read the news or hear it or whatever that there was one Powerball ticket, if you play that, can I say to you, you're not a good steward of God's money? But there was one ticket sold in California, and it won $478 million, I think it was. I give that person a year, and the money will be gone. We have to learn to steward. We have to learn to steward. A second principle of that is give on the basis of equity so that each has enough. This time your abundance may supply their need. The next time their abundance may supply your need. But trust God to provide. Trust God to provide. Give and receive and show gratitude and continue to give. Several years back, Kim came home from some conference. She got to talking about one of the speakers. Whoever the lady was, instead of giving 10% and living off of 90%, the 90% that was left, she and her husband gave 90% and lived off of the 10% that was left.
So, well, if I made that much money.
Yeah, well, if you make that much money, how much are you spending? You know, when the nephew got to trying to play a little pro football and all the money that he would make just being basically on the practice squad, and then you start reading about all these guys that make all this money, and I know I mentioned this 2-3 weeks ago whenever the NFL draft was, that some of those guys' guaranteed contracts was way up into the double-digit millions. Guaranteed! And how many of them, after they quit playing ball, have to file bankruptcy? It's because it's all about them, and it's all about right now, and they needed to learn to give, and so this couple was living off of 10% and giving 90%. Now we as a couple, we as a family may never make it to that ratio, but I'm going to try. Because what you learn is that you don't need everything that you think you do. When other people and God's work becomes more important than satisfying your need, your wants, your desires. I know another couple who, while not being very astute financially, they were givers. And the Lord blessed them because they were givers. Dave Ramsey speaks of the now, then, us, them framework. The now stage, which is taking care of your immediate family before you do anything else. Get on a budget, get out of debt. Next is the then stage, which is when your head kind of comes up and you start looking down the road a little bit and you say, well, I got to educate this child and at some point I may not be able to work, so I better be getting ready for retirement, all that stuff. And then that leads us to the us stage, where you realize that the decisions you make today affect your children, your grandchildren, and on down through the ages. And you begin to see needs and you're able to respond and meet those needs. Then lastly is the them stage, which is not focused on you, your future, your family, any of that. You are focused on how God can use you to impact the world. Broken together. We as a church need to see that and we need to live it out. We are broken together. As a family, as a couple, you need to learn to steward your money obediently, faithfully to Christ, opening your hearts to others, learning to become generous, and then continuing to give. Broken together. Are you stewarding your money? Are you overcoming brokenness?